Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the hottest new show on the internet, where your host is an innovator, motivator, captivator, an inspirator, and an authoress. She comes raw and uncut. Sit back and relax. You're about to be unmasked by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Every Friday, right here, 7:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
Be somewhere around. You see, not only that, you see, I'll be your bridge over troubled waters. You See, the reason why I say this, baby, is because I love you, girl. I love you so much. Oh, sometimes I can't even explain. You see, you're like a flower that blooms in any season. And that's why I like to say, you're my flower, baby. You're my flower. Oh, baby.
Well, everyone, welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle. You could have been anywhere you wanted to be this Friday weekend, but you decided to spend it with us, and I appreciate that. It's cold all over the nation, so everybody bundle up, and I just want to give a shout-out to some people. I'd like to say hello to Lola Matthews in South Carolina. I'd like to say hello to Cassandra Motes and Irene Motes in South Carolina, and also Louise Childs. How y'all doing this evening? And our guest tonight is going to be talking about being raped by her dad. But our guest right now, she's having a problem getting to the studio, so we're going to fill in until she get here. And with that being said, I'm going to read a poem of mine from my fourth book, Speechless. It's called Come Here, Little Girl. This particular poem, when I wrote it, Defects in Columbus, Georgia, wrote a lot of my books because they deal with molestation on a regular basis, as we all know. So I'm going to share this poem. It's called Come Here, Little Girl. Come here, little girl, and sit on my lap. Let me molest you while your parents nap. This will be our secret that you can't tell. I'm a sick predator from the depths of hell. Shut your mouth and be real quiet. If you tell the truth, then I will deny it. Years from now, when you become grown, you'll be mentally messed up because you was molested at home. I'll return on another day. I'll smile at your parents, and you'll be my prey. Usually assaults will happen closer to home, even though I'm your uncle who won't leave you alone. And with that being said, that is pretty sad that it's bad enough when your children are molested and the people that are supposed to be in the position to protect them are the ones harming them, you know. So if you see something where a child is doing something that's not the norm, or their grades has dropped drastically, or they're withdrawn, look a little closer because it might be something going on that you need to address. And I want to introduce my co-host, Shalonda. How are you, Shalonda?
I'm good, thank you. How are you today?
Fine. And my other guest co-host, Mrs. Delicious. How are you, Miss Delicious?
I am fantastic, darling. You know, I'm fantastic.
Always, always. I got a special guest on the line whose number ends 4524. And this person don't know I'm going to put them on the line because this is my mama, and this is Mrs. Lola Matthews. So, Miss Lola Matthews, how are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, my dear.
I know.
Hi, Miss Matthews.
Well, hello, darling. How are you?
I am just fantastic, darling.
You just like me then, baby. I'm great. I'm better than the bag of grapes, baby.
You got it. You got it.
That's the way to do it.
Yes, ma'am, all day long.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, yesterday we was talking to our guest, and she was supposed to get into the studio before now, but I've heard that she's feeling a little apprehensive about using her name, and we was going to use a different name. But, you know, it's good that she's not here right now, because I want to ask you a question, Ms. Matthews. By you being a mom and a grandma and a great-grandma, have you ever been exposed to someone trying to do something inappropriate to your children?
No, I have not. You know, if they had tried, they wouldn't be here to tell about it.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Yes, baby.
I would say this on a conversation of that kind. You know, sometimes you had to pay attention. A lot of people don't pay attention to their children when they're making a change. You can tell if your child is changing from what it was and what they're going to. And my children have always been open to me to tell me if something is wrong. And that kept me noticing what they were doing and paying attention, close attention, not just look at them today and don't pay no attention no more. But I paid attention to my children, and I got very good children, four of them, and they're all very good. I can't
complain
about
that. Thank you,
because
I'm one of the group. Let me ask you something, Mother Dear. Have you ever had a friend of yours whose child was molested or anything? Because I can't speak on what it felt like to be molested or raped. You know, thank God for Jesus, and that never happened to me, because I don't know if I could have handled it. But do you know anybody who's been like that?
No, I do not. You know, because, you know, my friends and I was very close, and if anything went wrong, she would tell me, I would tell her, and we would tell each other. We'd get in a group, and we conversate together. And, you know, God have been good to me to have two girls and two boys, and nothing ever happened to them. They've been good kids, and I'm not saying it because you on the phone. I have had good kids, and I can't say a thing about that. And you know that some people don't pay attention to their children. They're more interested in their husband, their friends, their men friends, or whatever. They forget about their children, but you know their children come first. But a lot of people don't think about it that way. But I have always thought about my girls. I don't want nothing to happen to them. And even my boys, because men move my last boys also. But that's what
well,
a lot
you know,
of people
since
don't
we
think.
Got...
Yes?
Since we got you on the phone, we're going to probably make you all special guests, getting wisdom from a senior citizen.
No.
You know, we can always flip the script.
No, don't flip the script. You keep that script just like it is.
No. Somebody's trying to beep in now, but I can't switch over. So whoever's calling me from 216, they better call into the show because I can't answer. Shalonda or Gail, do you have any questions for Ms. Matthews?
Well
it seems that Ms. Matthews had a... you know, had a keen eye, you know, because she also said that some parents don't pay attention to when their children do make changes. Isn't the fact of the matter that all her children were good children and she didn't have that problem? And it is true that some parents even turn a blind eye to what's going on. Some of them even know what's going on, but they, you know, they sweep it under the rug, or even if there's some fear that the husband may have put into them, you know, if you tell anybody, I'm going to kill you. And, you know, because there's been families, whole families of girls have been molested or raped by their father, and the mother knowingly knew what was going on, but out of fear, nothing was done about it, nothing was said about it. Then these girls grow up and they're half crazy and doing all kind of things out of the norm. And, you know, people want to say, well, she's crazy. She doing this, she doing that. You have to really know a person, the miles that they walked in their own shoes before you can judge somebody and say, no, she crazy. But there are reasons why people do some of the things that they do, and it could be because they was molested or raped, you know, because rape is very, that's a traumatic thing. I've been raped myself. I've been raped and molested before in my life. And,
Gail,
you know,
don't get into that story yet, because what we're going to do, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, I'm going to let Shalonda ask Ms. Matthews questions, and then we're going to get into your story about being raped, okay?
All right, darling.
So everyone, stay tuned for a small break.
Crying so many hours,
trying to make it right. Just didn't have the power, and you ignored all my tears. In the hopes they disappear. I tried to let it go,
but I guess
you just don't want to know. And if I had a dime for every time I tried, learned that I could cope. Well, 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 I discovered I could make it. Oh, in nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold. I discovered I could take it. Oh. Now I wouldn't change a thing, no, no. Not for the knowledge, not for the knowledge that I've gained. Let me say it like this, I learned that I could grow.
Yeah.
selection by Pastor Marvin Winans, I'm Over It Now and You Just Don't Want to Know. And at the beginning of the show, we played New Birth, Wildflower. The topic tonight was supposed to be a woman raped by her dad, but my guess, for some reason, she hasn't made it here. And I knew she was a little apprehensive about going on the air and telling her story, so maybe she will show up. But in the meantime, I'm so glad to say that my mom, she tuned in, and she got some good insights about dealing with children, what to look for, and what it's like, share the wisdom of a senior citizen. And I want my co-host, Shalonda, to ask her a question, and then we're going to go into Gail, and she's going to share her experience when she was raped herself. Well, Ms. Matthews, are you still here?
Yes.
Okay, well, could you speak up a little bit, and Shalonda, you can ask your questions, darling.
No, I'll listen. I can learn by listening.
Yes. Well, we want to ask you some things that we don't know yet. We'd be blessed to get to your age and have the wisdom that
right.
you have. And my co-host, Shalonda, she wanted to ask you a question, but...
Go ahead.
Dale, could you touch her on the shoulder and wake her up?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes, I can.
Okay.
Okay.
Ms. Lewis, I also have two girls and two boys right now, and I'm really, like, zoomed in on my girls when it comes to being around males, even the males in their own family. I'm just really zoomed in because I know from growing up with some of my friends who have been molested and never spoke of it in their family. I have some whose parents, whose mothers knew about it, and they never did anything about it. One of my girls is my stepdaughter, who is actually in our custody right now because of the fact that her older sister was molested by the stepfather in the home with the mother. And even though the oldest child, she told her mother said she's a liar, she don't believe her, she was faking, she just wanted attention, things like that. And this was occurring. She was telling for like 6 months. Really, and nobody ever did anything about it. And when she told us, that basically that same week was when everything just hit the fan, because I couldn't, you know, get that information and not pass that on to Child Protective Services for them to do something, step in and do something. And then when it came down to it, we found out that my stepdaughter actually was touched too, and she never said anything about it. So, but we really never noticed any change in my stepdaughter as far as being touched, I guess because she was never penetrated or anything. But I mean, as far as me, I watched the children with a hawk's eye, and I never noticed anything different from her that would say that she might have been touched, even from her sister, who we were also around a lot. It never showed her, like, her disposition never changed, her attitude as far as I knew it never changed. So it's kind of, I know that some people, they may say, well, your child, if you would have noticed it, but all the time you don't. It depends on actually the child, if they really react and act out about it in the end. It was just that she came and told in the end that really, you know, pushed everything forward for this guy to be arrested and everything.
But in my opinion on that, I would say, most children, girls, they'll get, most of them will get, you know, I worked with kids recently, with kids. I did volunteer work for children, you know. And you can tell if they're being touched, and you can tell if they're not. Because the way they carry themselves, they act growner, more mature than they should be. And you have to watch that. And you pay attention to when they're around men. Are you the boys, larger, older boys? They will get in their face as if they have something to say. You watch those types, and then you'll see if your child is being molested or trying to get into their face, because sometimes they don't know what they're doing. They're getting in their face, and these person that maybe they be talking to that you don't know, that maybe their uncle, maybe their brother, friends, cousins, you have to watch each and every one of them, because they don't hang around for nothing. They hang around so they can get something. So I think it's best when you talk to your daughter or your stepdaughter, tell her you don't play with these men unless you know what they're going to do. You don't want to know what their motives is first.
Right.
Because they're not there just to be looking at your daughter. If they come to see you, they come to see you, not your child.
Right. Yeah,
and this is what you do. You keep an eye on them. And I know I used to keep, I guess people thought I was being crazy or something like that. I love my kids, and I don't
right.
want nothing to happen to them. And if I see one of them acting out of order, when I know they don't generally do that, I talk to them myself. And I ask them what their problem is. And majority of the times, they will tell me what the problem is. So I didn't have a problem like that, really.
Right. And I think that since, you know, she was, I just came in the picture. I wasn't around when she was a little child. She's only 9 now. But I came around when she was 6. And it was like nothing had changed. Not even been in the company of all of the children and the stepfather. And it just, when I play it, I always play it back in my mind. Like, how did she act? Was she different? You know, and I guess
she had to
the
be
way
a little
I
different.
Met them, they were like this, that, you know, it didn't seem anything out of the norm to me since I wasn't around for them, the sister was 13 and I wasn't around for her to mature, basically, and see the change in her. To notice that, wait a minute, this a little shaky, or this don't seem a little, you know, right. And that's why when she came to us, because, I mean, I feel like she was in dire straits to come to us, you know, about it, because even though we were close with her mother and father, it was mainly because of my stepdaughter that we had a relationship with them, just so we could co-parent correctly. And, I mean, she just felt comfortable enough one day to just say, John is touching me. He's having sex with me. And it just caught me by such a surprise. It was, oh, no, we got to do something about this. So even
for
when
real?
We went to the mother, she was like, oh, she just want attention. She just want to move to North Carolina with her grandparents. She lying. I've already taken her to the doctor, and they said that's not the case, and things like that. And we're like, I don't believe
it. That makes me sick.
You know? Yeah, it was just too many different excuses. That's when it started really showing. The mother was making too many different excuses. And then one of the girls across the street, one of the daughter's friends, said that he tried to touch her. And then she went to Child Protective Services that same week. And that's when they came out that by that Thursday, they was out being taken out of the home. You know, so...
I think her mother was a little afraid of the one that was touching her.
Right,
I think
right.
this is the problem. She was afraid. And she was maybe a little bit embarrassed that he would touch her and not touch the daughter but not touch the mother.
Right.
But you know,
it
just reminds me of the movie Be Precious, because when Monique was playing, she was mad because the guy saw her daughter to sleep with, so she felt like, what is it about me? She was mad because he chose the child over her. And, you know, I don't care what the excuse is that lady had, but it's a problem when you don't protect your child. It ain't about who
right.
that he chose your child for you. The fact that she's a baby, that's your job to take care of her.
Right.
That's true. But then you see, too, there's a lot of parents put the girls in the bed with them, and the child sleep in the middle. He's on one side, you on the other side. You don't know what he's doing when that child in the middle of it, between the two of you. You know, you got to pay attention and take notice of a lot of things, little things you wouldn't pay attention to. And if that child begin to be so close to the person that's in the bed with them, is something wrong with that picture. You have to look at it a little different, because she shouldn't get attached to him because she's in the bed, because he
right.
must be doing something he's not supposed to be doing.
That's making me sick to my stomach. Gail,
yeah,
do you have any comments,
really,
darling?
Well, you know, it goes without saying, just like your mom said, you have to see some changes in that child. They may start bedwetting or thumb sucking, or there's going to be a change in that child. because that's the only way that they could sort of like deal with it, sort of like suppressing it. They take on some type of other activity, so to speak, because children cannot, they're not really like an adult. An adult may, you know, try to deal with the best they can. Adults can deal with it a little better than a child can, because a child is supposed to have that person there that's protecting them, that's looking after them. But if this person is harming them, abusing them, then they have no outlet. So they may lash out at the kids at school, may go to school and just start fighting kids, or just, you know, take on something to release that frustration, because they can't, their mother's not going to listen to them, nobody's going to believe them. So these are the things that, you know, you have to keep an eye on your child, and you have to pay attention, and you, most of all, you must listen to your child. Never deny your child the fact that when she comes and tell you, daddy touched me, or my brother touched me, you know, don't discount it. Get them together and talk about it. Get it out, because number one, if you don't, that child is going to, may grow up and just go through some type of really terrible emotional change. The child may even grow up themselves to be an abuser, you know, because hurt people hurt people. So
exactly.
When you sort of like dip it in the bud, you know, listen to your child when they come to you and say, mommy, daddy's touching me, or, you know, something like that. You know, I've never had that problem, you know, in my household with my kids. And my daughter's gay. And they say a person, you know, who's gay has been molested. And I know a girlfriend of mine who was molested by her biological father, and she is gay. And I asked my daughter, I said, you know, has anybody ever molested you or touched? She said, no, Mom. I said, would you tell me the truth? And she said, Mom, I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Nobody ever did. But, you know, it's just that some people do different things to counteract that pain, that hurt, and those things that was done to them. So my girlfriend who was, you know, raped by her father, she has a strong disliking for men. So therefore, her comfort is being with women. So, you know, you really have to get into your children's head when you see those changes coming on, their report cards, they was getting A's, now all of a sudden they're getting D's. They're not communicating with you. They're shutting themselves off from you. You know, sit down, talk to your child, and try to find out what's going on. And if you find out that your husband, your son, or whoever is molesting his child, get the law involved. Because if you let it go, it's just going to continue to happen. And sometimes, like I said, some of these women even know when their husbands are raping their daughters or raping their sons. And even sometimes the mothers are even in on it.
Okay, well, we're glad to say that our guest has finally arrived in the studio, and we're going to take a small break. But for anyone who would like to call in and ask a question of the guest or Ms. Matthews or one of our hosts, you can call in to 347-945-6003 and hit the number one key on your phone. Let us know that you have a question. But we're going to take a small break and be back with our special guest who was raped by her dad.
Okay.
Thank you.
A dream that I
that was a beautiful selection called At Last by Etta James. And we're glad to say that our guest has arrived. We're not going to use any last names because of privacy reasons. But our guest, we're just going to call her Joyce for the night. She was born in D.C., and she went through a D.C. school system. And she dropped out of college because of money. At the age of 5, she believes, is when the abuse started, and it stopped at the age of 9. Her parents sent her away at the age of 9 because of her father to New York to save her abusive aunt on her dad's side of the family. And then it turned out at the age of 19, she was raped again by 2 men at the gunpoint. And so with a heart deep appreciation that she took the time to come out and share her story, we want to welcome our guest, Joyce, to the show. How you doing, Joyce?
I'm doing fine. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, darling. I'm so glad that you're here. And I just want to ask you a question. At the age of 5, what happened? Did nobody see it happen? I mean, what's the dynamics behind the first time? Was there a build-up to it? Did your dad try to hug on you and love on you and build up to the abuse? Or he just came at you at the age of 5, just like, boom. It was there.
It just came at me. My mother was working the night shift, you know, at the bank, cleaning the banks up. And I was in a room with, I have 6 brothers. So all of us shared a room together. I had my own bed in my room. But my dad would come in at night and just pull me out the bed, take me in his bedroom and do what he had to do. For whatever reason, I don't know why, he would put Vaseline on my vagina. And he would also have oral sex with me. But I want to say this. I know a lot of women who have been abused and who have found the reason to turn to other women, but I can thank God that didn't happen to me. In other words, hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm still here, darling.
In other words, myself, it's bad to say, but I turned out to be a whore. Not a prostitute, but just a person looking for love to whichever way I could find that love, to however amount of men that would give me that love. But it never really served my purpose. I met my husband when I was about 35. So my husband at the time was 30, I'd say about 33. So that was the love of my life. That was the love of my life. All those other men that I can count on my hands and toes and your hands and toes, I thought I was in love. And when I explained to my husband the abuse that I had been through as far as with my dad and as far as being raped at gunpoint by 2 men, who did do 20 years in Lorton, he just fell in love with me, he said, because he said, it's a wonder that I wasn't crazy, that I'm a strong black woman. And so I just want to thank God that he brought me through. Now, today I'm no longer married because my husband died in 2008. He was a diabetic. And I have not been with a man since. I mean, I want to try to get into relationships with other men, but when they give me their phone number, if I find out they're married, I cut them off real quick. So I'm just, maybe I need to go get some help for that because I do want companion. I mean, a dog wants companion. You understand what I'm saying? I would love to be with a man.
Right. At the age of 5, didn't that cause you to bleed or show some outward sign that your mother knew what was discharged in your underwear or something? Didn't she notice something was different because she was washing your clothes?
Well, as at the age of 34, I believe I told my mother because I was going to the psychiatrist by then for another problem that I had. I had a problem with my job. So that's the only time I got to go see a psychiatrist, when I got in my late 30s. And the doctor was telling me, well, your mother knows. your mother had to know. I said, I don't believe my mother ever knew. If she did, she didn't tell me. And so that's why I said at the age of 9, I was sent to New York to live with my aunt, who was very abusive to me. I mean, very abusive. I mean, I got beatings with sticks, beatings. I mean, 2x4 sticks or whatever you want to call it. I got beatings with
pieces of wood. You talking about pieces of wood?
Yeah. Yes.
Goodness,
I got
that is abusive. Now I've been beaten by my aunt, but wood? Oh Lord.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You said you had 6 brothers. So you're the only girl between 6 brothers?
At that time, I was the only girl. Now, I do have a sister, and she's 14 years younger than me. My brothers, it's taboo in the family. It's taboo. They never I have discussed it with my brothers. Only one of my brothers admitted to that he thought my father was doing something to me. The rest of my family members, I'm saying even my father's sisters, they don't believe me. They say I'm lying and, you know, why would you want to lie on something like that about your dad?
Exactly. So he shipped you off. Well, we have a senior citizen on here, Ms. Matthews. Do you have a question for the guest?
The question I have would be that I think the mother was embarrassed because she told her about what her husband did, her father.
No,
and
I never
she didn't
told
want that
I,
to be.
I never told my mother until I was in my 30s. And when I did tell my mother was saying, well, why did you wait all this time to tell me? You know I wanted to divorce your father, but that wasn't an answer that That wasn't an answer that I was looking for my mother to say. I was, like, thinking she would be shocked, but it wasn't shocked. So I can't help believe that my mother probably did know, like the doctor said.
Yeah,
that's
because
true.
She still stayed married to him, correct?
Excuse me?
She stayed married to him, correct?
Well, no, my father died when I was at a very young age. And my father died at the age of 41. He also was a diabetic.
Well, we got a caller here who want to ask you a question, and their last 4 digits are 4374. Caller, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hi, everybody. Hi.
How you doing?
Carrie. Hi. I'm doing
Ms.
good.
Ms.
Jade.
Hi, Jade, darling.
Hi, Ms. Delicious. How are you? And hi to your guests.
Okay.
Did
how
have
you doing?
Well, go ahead and ask your question,
you doing?
Jade.
I'm doing good. Thank you, beautiful. I know that you had mentioned that you have a sister. You have a sister that's 14 years younger than you.
Yeah.
And I know that you said that this is kind of taboo. Your family really didn't discuss it. But I just wanted to ask you, did you and your sister ever discuss it? Like, is there any suspicion that this had happened with your sister? Did she share
No,
any?
It didn't happen to my sister because when my sister was born, my mother and my father was no longer together. My sister is we don't have the same father.
Okay.
Right. But my father was also very abusive to my mother because my father would accuse my mother of having sex with my brothers, which
what?
I don't believe that at all. Yes, my father
wow.
would do that because I look at it like this now at this age because he was doing me. He had,
he
you know, the,
mother.
Yeah, the accuser is the accusee. You understand
Absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no. I don't think my brothers ever had a problem with my mom like that. Mm-mm.
Well, my co-host, Shalonda, you got a hand raised
I'm
up
sorry.
As well. And I'm going to give her a chance to ask you a question. Shalonda, what do you want to ask us?
Excuse me.
Yes, as a child, when the molestation started, were there any threats or did you automatically just fear him because he was your father? Or did he truly, like, threaten to say, I'll kill the whole family, I'll do this to you, I'll do this to your mother, to coerce
no.
you into not saying or not wanting to reach out and say anything to someone?
No, we're talking about back in the 60s when my dad was doing this to me. But, you know, it's a secret. It's a secret because I'm your father and I love you so much. But he was abusive to me also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've gotten beatings with extension cords and everything. And it was like, you know, well, wait a minute, didn't you have sex with me? So why are you treating me like I'm some crap? You understand what I'm saying? And I'm your daughter. And you're going to beat me because dinner wasn't prepared? Now, at that time, I think I was like in the seventh grade. And during that time, he had stopped abusing me.
So did you say that you were nine when he stopped sexually molesting?
No, I was nine when I was sent to New York to live with his sister. When I returned back home, I was in the fourth grade. So I never had any problems with my father from the fourth grade up until the seventh grade. Why, I don't know.
So it just stopped. It wasn't something that after you got older that you finally said no more or whatever that caused it to stop. You don't know why it stopped. It just stopped.
Well, I think by me going to New York, see, that's why I say I think my mom probably knew, I don't know. That's why they told me they were sending me away to New York because I could get a better education there. Mm-hmm. But why would you send your one and only daughter away for 3 years? You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Joyce, we're going to take a small break, and we're going to let the callers know if they want to ask you a question. After we come from the break, to call in 347-945-6003 because we have so many more questions that I'm sure they want to ask you as well as I want to ask you and my co-hosts and Ms. Delicious and Ms. Jade and Mrs. Matthews. So we're going to take a small break, and when we come back, we're going to get right back to your story. So stay with us.
Okay. Thank you. How you doing, Delicious?
I'm fantastic, darling.
Okay.
Come over here, sweetie. I really want to talk to you for a few moments. Hey.
Cause he kissed you on your cheek and called you baby. It doesn't mean he running no game.
Could you listen for a minute? You ain't the one who's in it.
Yeah, don't get it twisted, I ain't hating. Cause I've been there, I've done that. I'm just watching you.
Oh,
you to listen to.
I already know all of that.
You really don't. Listen to the voice of experience.
I lived into the time.
Now, don't be hard-headed. Don't be hard-headed. You're a sweet girl. Listen to what I'm saying to you.
I'm listening, buddy.
But you know a hard head will make a soft rooty-tooty booty. Okay? Now, wait. Okay. Here we go.
Wow, that was a wonderful selection by Aretha Franklin and Fantasia, Put You Up on the Game. And we're back with our guest, Joyce, who's in the studios. Joyce was raped by her dad at the age of 5, and the abuse stopped at the age of 9. She was born in the D.C. area, and then she went to college, and she had to drop out of that because of financial issues. But at the age of 9, her parents sent her off to New York to stay with one of her aunts on her dad's side, who was very abusive. And then she came back around the age of 19 and was raped by 2 men at gunpoint. And so she got married to the love of her life, and he passed away a few years ago. And we want to welcome back Joyce, who has the courage to share her life and to probably give some tips to someone else and what the things to look for if you suspect something is going on in the kids and the girls and the sons around you, because abuse is not just isolated to young girls. Our little boys are being abused as well, and we got to be very astute to that. So I know that Ms. Matthews, you wanted to ask the question, but the guest, what she was talking, I don't think she understood what the question was, so I'm going to give you opportunity first, and then I'm going to go to Ms. Gail and then Ms. Jade and Shalonda, my co-host. So we're going to work our way backwards. So, Ms. Matthews, what did you want to ask our guest?
Only thing I want to ask, I didn't want to ask, I just want to tell, I'm very proud to know that she have come forward to let this be known. And she not only come for herself, she coming to help someone else also. If someone
Amen.
Else is listening, they can take information from her and learn from what she have gone through, and they can make it better for themselves.
Well, I agree. I commend you, Joyce, because it's a hard thing to open up to everybody. You know, it's very personal. And I'm sorry, I'm getting choked up. But, yeah, I agree. That's awesome that you're sharing your story with us. And, Ms. Gail, do you want to ask our guest a question?
Yes. Joyce, I would like to know, if your dad was alive today, just a little scenario, and what would you ask him? Would you want to know why he did what he did to you? Would you ask him, or you would just keep it quiet?
No, I don't think I would be quiet about it at all. That's something I would want to know. You know, it's unfortunately he passed before I even had the courage to ask. But I did ask my father's sister, did anybody ever abuse him? Because
mm-hmm.
my father came from a family of 12. But when I asked my aunt, she was like, I don't want to talk about anybody that's dead. So that was my answer, you know. But in my heart of hearts, because I know that I'm a child of God, I have forgiven my father. That was my father, and I love my father. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because there were good times, too. But as far as remembering Christmas and all that, I don't remember any of those things. I don't ever remember having a happy Christmas. I mean, I had toys and all that stuff, but I don't remember being happy and excited about anything when my father was living. But
Let me ask you this. If you, now this is the same thing, your father's alive and you had a daughter, would you tell your daughter what your father did to you, and would you keep your daughter a distance from your father? How would that relationship work out?
Yeah, I probably would tell my daughter if I had a daughter, because I have a lot of nieces in my family, and I constantly tell them about my father abusing me, and I would want them to tell me if someone abused them. This is when they were little girls. They're like in their 20s now. So, you know, they understood that.
So would you let your daughter, you know, would you leave your daughter alone with your father, or, you know, you would?
Would I leave my daughter alone with
Your father?
Fathered her?
No, with your
father. No. I don't think so. Because if he did it to me, he probably would try to do it to my daughter. No.
Absolutely.
I just don't trust men around little girls, period.
Right.
I really don't.
You know, and I ain't never been molested, but it's just something that I just think is inappropriate. I got a daughter, one child, and I was always very freaking out. Don't want to ask my daughter to sit on your lap. She don't need to be sitting on your lap. And if we're walking down the street, you don't talk to my child. So, ooh, you're so cute. You talk to me. I'm the adult. I ain't never played that crap. But I'm going to let Jade ask a question. I'm going to let my co-host, Shalonda, ask you a question. Jade, is something you want to ask Joyce?
I did. I wanted to ask a question and make a quick comment. First, let me ask you this, and it's going to go follow with another question. Are you still seeing your counselor?
No, I'm no longer seeing that counselor. Let me explain this to you. After I stopped seeing the psychiatrist, I went around to different colleges in the Washington metropolitan area to speak to college kids, and believe it or not, it was a lot was very appreciative of me coming out with this and talking about it. And they had a lot of questions to ask. I mean, it had gotten to the point I wanted to go to Gallaudet. And you know what college Gallaudet is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a college for the hearing impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think, if people can't talk and can't really tell, I wanted to go to Gallaudet to learn sign language. And I mean, me and my husband and I tried to do that, but because at the time they said I made too much money, but I really didn't make too much money, I couldn't go there. But that was something I really wanted to pursue, and I still would like to do it today. I don't know right now, at the age of 58, will I be able to help anyone today? Because there's so much help out there for people today.
It's never too late. But the reason that I asked that question was because I know that the communication kind of lacked based off of what you said so far, between you and your mother. And I just thought that it would seem that a counselor would have brought your mother in so that y'all could have some type of communication within, you know, a counseling structure to figure out what was going on within her mind and how your feelings as far as that, and you to be able to expel your feelings with regard to whether you felt like your mother knew or whatever. What I do want to
But can I make a comment on that part
ahead.
About my mother?
Go ahead. Yeah.
At the age of 35, 36, when I did tell my mother, she died a month after I told her that. That really bothered me a long time. And, of course, I blame myself for my mother's death.
You died from?
Because I told her that. No, at that time, I did, because I didn't understand. I'm like, you know, I just told her this. And, I mean, my mother died instantly.
What's the medical reason behind her death?
She had a heart attack.
That wasn't your
fault. It was like a week later after I told her, then my mother passed. But as I, you know, got older and I began to learn more about God, I have no control over that.
Right.
You know, and I stopped blaming myself. It took me a while to, you know, just say that she's gone and it's not my fault that she's gone.
Right.
But that was the love of my life, too. Because I never wanted to tell my mother because I never wanted her to know that her husband did that to her child, because I know it would hurt her tremendously.
Ms. Terry, can I make my comment? Because I did have a question.
Oh, sure can, darling. Go ahead.
So what I really wanted to say to you, because you had mentioned about your family, your aunt, you know, kind of being in denial with and not wanting to talk to you about anything.
No, they call me a liar. They said she's lying.
Right, right. And then when you said, I want to know about my father's history, was he abused, she didn't want to talk about it. What I want to say to you, first of all, is that you're strong. I bless you for sharing this with people because you are helping people. And sometimes what I notice within all of us is that sometimes our circle has to be limited. We have to alleviate those people that is unhealthy within us, even if it's our family and we don't want to lose them. Sometimes that is what really is therapeutic for us, is to let go. So he may not be a healthy person for you to continue to try to reach out to. And if she's not willing to help you,
let me say this. They don't even talk to me.
Wow.
They don't talk to me. Wow. I mean, I wish I could talk to my brothers about, you know, what my dad did to me. It's taboo in the family. I better not say anything. So to keep my peace, I talk to friends about it. And I don't talk about it that much anymore now because I just don't. I remember when I used to sleep and my husband would come in, and you know how you be in a deep sleep?
Mm-hmm.
I jump every time, and I still jump when people try to wake me up. It's like a scary jump, and they'll be like, I didn't mean to scare you. I said, oh, don't worry about it. I've been going through this all my life, seems like it.
So you think your dad's creep into the room again and take you at will?
Right.
I suppose that's what it is, yes. I mean, yeah. I just jump, you know. And I don't know. I just thank God that he protected me the way he protected me.
Mm. Well, we thank you for sharing your story.
Shalonda, is there a question you want to ask Joyce? Because after you ask the question, I'm going to take another little break because I want to come back and ask her about what happened at the age of 19 when she was raped at gunpoint by two guys. But I'm going to let you get your question in first.
Yes. So as you...
Shalonda, I can't hear you. You got to speak up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. After you grew older, did you harbor any ill feelings towards yourself because you didn't speak out earlier about the abuse that your father was acting upon you? Did you feel like you should have said something to somebody? Or, you know, some people go through, like, self-destruction because of it. I know one of my best friends, she was a manic depressive because of it. She tried to take her life maybe 3 or 4 times because she couldn't get past the abuse. And since she had never spoken on it, she acted out in that way, but it was towards herself that she harbored the ill feeling.
Well, I've tried to do myself in a couple of times. I started drinking at a very young age. I call 16 or 17 a very young age. I was very promiscuous. I tried to kill myself a couple of times because I just didn't feel that my mother loved me the way that a mother would love her daughter. So, but then I got over that. Like I said, the only person that I know that in this life that loved me more than I love myself was my husband. That's why I say he's the love of my life. Because a lot of times I would discuss the abuse with my dad, about my dad, and the abuse about the two men raping me. And, you know, I can't help but say that it's by the strength of God that I had God in my life. It's just the miracle that he worked on me. You know, I've been very depressed. and I still get very depressed at times. And I don't know if the depression comes from the fact that my dad did abuse me. I know that when I started going to the psychiatrist, it was because I was suing my government job officials. It's something about authority from a man that I can take it or I can leave it now. But at one time it was, I just had this mean supervisor, and he was sexually harassing me. I got tired of it, and I sued and I won. It's a matter of public record. If anybody want to go look it up, you know, like I said, my name is Joyce. So you can look it up. And
they can't find it if they don't have your last name. And for privacy reasons, your last name,
darling.
You're
not going to do that.
I want to say we're going to take another small break. And after the break, when we come back, if you'd like to talk to Joyce and her experiences about being raped by her dad and also being raped at the age of 19 at gunpoint, then call in at 347-945-6003 and hit the 1 key. And I know you got your hand raised, and we're going to take a small break and be right back. So go get you some water.
Do me wrong.
I'm going to the back.
Do me right. Tell me lies, but hold me tight. Save your goodbyes for the morning light. But don't let me be lonely tonight. Say goodbye. It's good to see you, and it's time to go. Don't say yet, please don't say no. I don't want to be lonely tonight. Go.
Well, we are back. And that was Don't Want to Be Lonely Tonight by James Taylor. And for
you must have dedicated that song to me.
It really? Well, I just thought what a nice, cool night on a Friday. If I wasn't going to be here, it would be nice to be all hugged up playing that song. But yes, because who wants to be lonely when they can have somebody hugged up with them?
That's
but
right.
Anyway, I'm going to get back to the I want to thank Joyce for being here, our guest tonight, who's sharing her story about being molested by her dad, and the abuse started at the age of 5 and stopped at the age of 9. But I want to talk about when, at the age of 19, you was raped at gunpoint by 2 men. Tell me about that scenario. What happened with that?
Well, what happened with that, I had went out with a young man. His name was Percy. And we had walked into his house. So I know what Percy's intentions were, but it wasn't mine. So we drank a little wine. And Percy went in the back room. And I said, yeah, this person thinks, you know, I put the other word that no one wants to talk about anymore.
I mean,
you
can say the word, darling. This show is nothing.
I said, this nigga think he going to get some pussy. He ain't getting nothing from me. So while he was in the back room doing whatever he had to do, now check this out. Now, I don't want to have sex with Percy, but I end up getting raped. I mean, come on. So I'm walking up the street. I'm walking home. These guys in a brown Cadillac, they wait.
Mm-hmm.
Ask me that I need a ride. I remember that. I could tell the story right now today if the police asked me again about it. And so I'm walking up the street, but, you know, you have a feeling. Something about your spirit will let you know when something is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking real fast, and I'm praying. I'm saying, God, please don't let anything happen to me tonight. I didn't do anything. I'm going home. I'm going home. And the guys turned around, and they pulled up while I was walking up the street, and they said, do you think your pussy worth dying for? They put the gun out the window, and they made me get in the car. Then what I did, I don't know what made me do it. I put my pack of cigarettes up on the dashboard. So if something happened to me, somebody would know that my fingerprints was in the car. Now, how they were going to know that, I don't know. But they took me into their apartment, and once we got in the apartment, they kept the gun on me the whole time. And my name was Bitch that night. And the thing about it, after it was all over with, well, they took me home because one guy could not get hard. So he was mad at me because I'm crying through the whole thing. And they called me, Bitch, shut the fuck up. Shut up. You want me to kill you? Huh?
They beating on you too, like smacking you around, hitting you in your face, all that, you know?
No, they just telling me to shut up and kept the gun in my face, you know.
Ooh, that's wrecking
my
arms. Oh, my God.
He's not hurting you. So one guy couldn't get hard. And so they finally got up and got finished, and they told me to go in the bathroom and wash myself up and get myself together. Well, I dropped the earring in the bathroom behind the toilet on purpose, just in case I got away, which by the grace of God. A good friend of mine, he's no longer living. He said, Joyce, it wasn't nothing but God that saved you tonight. You could have been dead, and I could have. So the guys dropped me off, but before they dropped me off, they said, yeah, man, we could take her to New York. She could make us some good money. And
what?
I got real scared then. I said, no, I said, my mother's going to be worried about me, and this will kill my mother, and this and that. So they let me out. When I got home, I didn't tell my mother. I don't know why. I was just afraid. I didn't tell her. I didn't tell her until maybe the next day. And I told her, I said, Ma, I was raped last night. And my mother went off. She went off, called the police. But you know what? I described the car. I remember the neighborhood and everywhere where they took me. And the police set one of them up real good.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about that, I remember the tag number. I don't remember the tag number today, but I remember the tag number back then.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I washed away all the evidence when I got home, because I washed my panties out, I took a shower, I did everything just to get it. Just to get it.
You went to trouble to put the cigarettes in the car window for fingerprints. You put the earring behind the toilet in case you didn't make it out alive for evidence. So why would you at this point go and wash out your vagina and take away any semen?
Because I didn't know. I was just doing it. I didn't know. You know.
You knew to leave some evidence behind.
Yeah, but I didn't know not to. I'm just a clean person. Just a clean person. So why I wash the panties out, I don't know. But they took everything else, my clothes and everything. You know, when you rape, they'll do a what you call it? What you call it?
They'll check for DNA specimens. They'll do a scrape of your uterus and stuff.
Right. They did all that. They checked to make sure that I didn't have any. Back then it was called VD, but it's called STD today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, VD stands for venereal disease. Anybody from old school know that? And you write every now they're saying STD because it covers a multitude of different types of sexual transmitted diseases. That's why they chose to use that option. Co-host Shalonda, did you have a question, or was that Gail that had a question for Joyce?
I think I have a question. I want to go to her mom, and this may have been the reason why your mother was so animate about admitting that she knew that what was going on with your father raping her, because sometimes, and my mom was abused, you know, coming up as well. And so when she was abused, of course, that abuse was inflicted on us. So, but I didn't find this out until my mom was dead. But what had happened was all my mother's brothers and sisters were abused when they were coming up. I'm talking about physical abuse. And my mother took it to worse, so she suffered from depression. My mother had two sons that she gave up for adoption. The last son that she gave up, which is my oldest brother, we didn't find out about him until my mom was dead. My mom died in 1995. My brother, he found us in 1996. And we never even knew anything about him. Even to this day, the people on my mother's side of the family are basically dead, except my mother has one sister left and a cousin. And I asked them, well, y'all never knew anything about it? They said no. But speaking to my brother, he tells such a horrible story of how it came about until I knew that my mother, you know, she was depressed. And at times, I'll never forget one time my mother was so depressed, she was in the kitchen washing the dishes. And I maybe was about 8 or 9 years old, something like that. And all of a sudden, I heard all this clashing. She started throwing the dishes on the floor. She threw all the furniture out in the backyard. She just cried and cried and cried. And when you're young like that, you don't know what's going on. But when I got older and understood about depression, because I suffer from depression as well. Everybody in my family suffers from depression, but not as bad as my mother. One of my sisters, she suffers from it really bad, but we all have that thing. So what I'm saying is your mother may have known this, but she was in such a deep depression that she couldn't even admit it to herself, and she just basically went inside of herself and never even wanted to know about it. You see what I'm saying? Because it's so far-fetched that she wouldn't know, because there were changes in you. And I'm quite sure she knew there was changes in her husband. And a mother knows when things go wrong with their child.
Yeah, my father was very abusive.
Oh, it could have been the fact that she was suffering from depression or, you know, something of that nature. So that's what I wanted to say as far as, like, you know, you're saying your mom, you the psychiatrist even admitted that your mother knew. But like I said, and then your father, you never know, your father may have even threatened her. You know, he may have, like you said, he was abusive to her, so she just shut down, so to speak. And she was unable to protect you, so maybe that's why she, you know, just went into herself like that.
Right.
Let me ask you a question.
So I just wanted to say that because depression is a horrible thing for anybody to go through. Some days, when I used to really suffer with it bad, you know, some years ago, some days I couldn't even get out of it. I'd be so depressed in it, and I couldn't even understand why, but it's hereditary as far as, like, because my mom, she suffered from it, and I seen, looking back, you know, over when things was happening, when I understood what was happening, I said, wow, that's just so sad that she had to go through that
all on account of being abused. She was abused by her father's mother because my grandfather's mother used to keep them. She would beat them, spit on them, pull their hair, wouldn't feed them, lock them in the closet, tell them that their mother was a whore, because at that particular time, my grandmother did day's work, and some nights she would stay, you know, on the job all night. And my grandfather's mother would be telling them, your mother's a whore and this and that, and y'all dirty and spitting on them. You know, and children can take but so much. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know. They obviously never said anything to their moms about it. I don't know. But that's what was told to me, that my aunt had told my sister when she was on her deathbed. Because I went through life, my mother never, ever said that she loved any of us until she was on her deathbed. But my mother was going to make
it here,
she said she loved us. But see, I don't think she ever heard anybody telling her that she loved her. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
So you have to, you know, look at the whole wide. It's a bigger picture.
And I understand that, too, Delicious, because my mother never really came out and said she loved me. If I said I loved her, she would say, I love you, too. I would always have to initiate the word, I love you.
Right, well, when I told my mom I love you,
she would show
me
in different ways.
All right. You know, she never said it back. And, you know, it just got to a point. It didn't stop me from saying that to her because I loved, and I knew that my mother loved me, but, you know,
right.
She never said it.
Right.
Okay, well, I want to ask the question right now since you were talking about your mom. You said that at the age of 5 when your dad first started to molest you, it was no buildup. He just came in your room one night and took you. Now, at the same time, you are one sibling and you have 6 brothers, so it's a pretty large family. It's about 9 of y'all in the house. Was there any friction at the time between your mother and your dad when he approached you? Is it because they was maybe fighting or whatever, and so he decided, well, he was going to get some tonight, and he didn't care who he got it from, so he took you?
Honestly, I can't even answer that. I don't even remember. I don't even remember that. I know that my mother was at work. And as far as them having any arguments or what, I just, you know, it's a lot that I have blocked out of my mind.
Well, that's good. You know why? Because when you block stuff out, it's your mind and your body way of protecting you from things that are intensity and it's very painful. And the intensity of the pain, you know, that's good. It's being blocked out. But
and
I want to ask about these guys.
I blocked it out because I don't remember any Christmases. I'll be beating my brain down trying to remember, were there any, and why Christmas, because Christmas is supposed to be happy times. You understand what I'm saying? A child remembers their Christmases, and I can't remember any of mine.
Well, Joyce, this part, like I said, maybe it's the way of your body protecting you, because when things are very painful, that's how the body, you know, protects itself. It sometimes just shut down and block things out. But those guys that held you at gunpoint at the age of 19 and raped you, did you ever see them again, or were they locked up right away? Did the police catch them?
Well, we went back to the place, because I took the police back to the place. And this is what the police said. Well, there's a Cadillac, and it has paper tags. Why don't some uniform officers just stand around there? He is going to come out the house and wonder why the police is standing around his car, which he did. And I didn't have to say a word because my actions, I just
got
went
nervous.
Crazy. I just went crazy, you know, crying and hysterical and telling the police that's him, that's him. Then it took them about a week later to find the second guy. And I think I might have picked him out in a photo, a mugshot, something like that. So they got him, but the only reason why they got 20 years is because they didn't find the weapon. If they had found the weapon, they would have got more time. And they did say that, well, by that time they had time enough to throw the gun in the river or anything to get rid of it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they did do.
Right.
And they were
running
around. Did I tell y'all the guys were married?
No, but if you know the guy's name, so that people out there that's listening might know that these are rapists out there. If you know their name, I wish you would.
One guy, well, they kept calling each other Bob. They never told me their real name. And when I went to court, I don't remember their real name. I mean, because this is when I was 19, so.
Yeah, a rapist is a rapist. Yeah. You know, he might be an old rapist. Doesn't make a difference. But I'm glad. I was hoping that you knew the name so you could share that information. But my co-host, Shalonda, she's been very patient sitting over there. And she want to ask you a question, Joyce. Shalonda, I need you to speak up, darling.
Okay. After the rape occurred and you said your mother was the one who initiated basically calling the police and everything, did that make you trust in your mother more at that point after being molested and nothing, she never brought that to light? Did you feel like you were more secure with your mother at that point when you were 19?
Yes, I felt loved. I really fell love. My mother went off. Oh, no. Because I said, well, Mom, they said if I tell anybody, they going to come back and kill everybody. And she was just, ain't no dumb motherfuckers this and that. They not going to do nothing. I'll kill them motherfuckers, you know. And I was like, wow, she really care about me. You know, so.
So that was basically a turning point for y'all, even though it was a terrible experience. It showed you the side of your mother that you wish you had at five. You know?
Yeah.
Wow. And the callers who are listening in tonight, if you would like to call in and talk to our guest, Joyce, who is sharing her story about being molested by her father and also raped at the age of 19 at gunpoint, you can call in to 347-945-6003. And if you got a question, hit the number 1 on your keypad, and that lets me know that you got a question you want to ask. Ms. Matthews, I see that you have a statement or a question you want to ask our guests.
No.
I can't hear you.
I don't have no question, baby. I've just been listening.
Okay. All right. So, Ms. Gail, do you have a question? Well, if not, we're going to take a small break, and
I'm sorry. I had my mute button on. I'm sorry. But, yes, I just want to say that, you know, any woman who steps forward and, you know, speaks about her rape or who lets people know what happened to her, I commend them. Because some women are so in fear until they keep it, you know, in their brain for so long, it actually will drive you crazy. And I've also learned the first step about a person being raped, the victim, is don't blame yourself. Do not blame yourself. And, you know, forgive the person who raped you, because as long as you have that on your mind, the longer you don't be carrying that dead weight. You know, so it took me years and years, because I got raped when I was 15, and maybe about 5 years ago when I actually forgave this guy for raping me. But, you know, you never blame yourself. And, you know, if it's possible, if you can get help, if you think you need help, you know, get help or talk about it. Do not keep it to yourself and let people know what happened to you, because you don't want to go around and spew all that hatred and that venom and all that stuff that was built up in you, you know, because that's how some people – they figure, well, I've been raped, so I'm going to go out here and rape somebody. Or, you know, they hurt me, so I'm going to hurt somebody. Now, everybody's not like that, because that's the last thing I would want to do to somebody, is to make them go through the pain that I went through. What I would have done is keep them from going through the pain that I went through. You know, so if anybody's out there hear my voice, if you've been raped or molested by your father, your brother, your uncle, whoever, tell. Don't keep that stuff in, because when you keep ill feelings in, it manifests itself into illnesses. Then you'd be wondering why you got cancer, why you got this, why you got that. Let it go and let God.
All right. And on that note, we're going to take a break and be back at 2 and 2.
What you doing?
Reading.
I can see that. What's the title of the book?
Insane.
Oh, I heard about that author.
Where'd you hear?
I heard that she is author Terry Elow, who lives in Alabama.
She's written and published 7 books. Insane is her 8th book.
Wow, you are right.
So where did you get your book?
From her website, www.terrylau.com. You also can get it on Amazon straight to your Kindle.
Can I read Insane when you finish?
No way. This was autographed to me. But you can go to her website, www.terrylau.com, and get your own autographed copy.
Write that down for me.
I sure will.
Everyone falls in love sometimes. Sometimes it's wrong, and sometimes it's right. For every win, someone must fail. But there comes a point when we exhale, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you cry. Life never tells us the winds are wide. When you've got friends to wish you well, you'll find a point when you will exhale. Yeah, yeah. Say
shoot, 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 baby.
Benefits that they offer. So there's always someone who can benefit from your wisdom, of what you went through?
Well, I'll say this. If you don't trust the people in your household, if you don't trust your mother or your father, there's have to be one person that you can go to. There was no one for me to go to, absolutely no one. But if there's an adult that you can trust that loves you and you know they love you, unconditional, let someone know. As Miss Delicia said, don't walk around thinking you can handle it, because I couldn't handle it. Like I said, God brought me through. I couldn't handle it because I was very abusive to myself as I was growing up. Very abusive. I mean, alcohol, drugs, men, boys, anything to look for comfort. At the age of 16, my first, I thought, was my real love at the age of 6, 25 years old.
Wow.
That today is a pervert, you know. That's what we call perverts today. And I really thought, you know, that somebody was loving me. But come find out, this man always liked young women my age. Because as I got older, he was nasty to me, you know, disrespectful. So, I mean, when you, like you said, as you get older, you get wiser. So I would say, you know, tell someone. I don't care if it's a school teacher. I don't care if it's a doctor, nurse. Tell someone, because it's not good. It's not healthy for you to try to handle it yourself. Because even today, I still ask myself, I want, I could be in the shower, it just come from nowhere. Why did my dad do that? Maybe if my father had been my father, life wouldn't have been so hard and rough to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard, rough life. I had a hard, rough life. You know how you hear people say, I can say that I lived a good life. I can say that my life was all right. I don't know about a good life.
I lived a life
to survive. That's the life I lived, to survive. And life shouldn't be like that. I'm just surviving. You understand what I'm saying?
Understand. And I just thank God that never happened to me, because I don't think I could have handled that. You know, the closest I could have said I got close to something that was out of order was this guy in the neighborhood I was growing up in. And back in the day, we was able to go to the store and get something for the people, and they'll give you some change, but run into the store for them, whether it's a loaf of bread or whatever. And on Queensbury, this guy who lived the second house from the corner, he said, could you go to the store for me? I said, sure. So I went in there, and I was sitting in the kitchen and everything, and mind you, I'm a virgin, and anybody know that when you're a virgin, ain't nobody getting that. You got that on lock. And the way I was raised, my mother was very, very strict. She watched your laundry. She watched the laundry, make sure you got your menstrual cycle on time. She was not playing that. But anyway, this guy asked me to go to the store for him. I said, sure. So I'm sitting at the table, and I'm waiting. And so then he said, come in the bedroom, get the money. So I went in there. This guy tried to grab me. I was fighting for dear life. I was fighting, swinging, screaming, and everything.
How old was
I must have got a good jab in his penis area, because I was kicking like I was like my life depended on it. And I ran out the house, and I told the lady next door, the Moselle and Ezel family, I told everybody about him. But I don't think I could have handled that, you know. And
I'm not saying you
could handle it any better, but God knows what we all can handle, and I'm glad that you came through it without any lasting psychiatric issues, because to go from that as a child and then to have that happen as a teenager man, when does the madness stop, you know? And wow, that's a lot. That's a lot to digest, and my goodness. But I'm so glad you're here sharing that with us, and I want everyone to know that next week.
I'm still standing. It's by the, I said, I'm still standing. It's by the grace of God. But let me, can I ask a question? Do you all remember when Oprah had the guys on her show, all the men who had been sexually abused by the priests and the people of the church and all that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I commend those men for going on there. But you know what I was thinking? Okay, well, how come she don't have women on there, too, that's been through that?
Well,
I don't know.
That it's not prevalent with men being raped, and that was like a thing where you, because men really don't come forward, and you don't hear about a man on the sixth, even though every one out of four men is raped every day. So many seconds a day, a man is raped. But men, because of their ego and,
right.
you know, being macho and all that kind of stuff, they don't want to say that they was raped because it makes them feel less than a man. But
yeah, right.
it was a good show that she did, that those men coming out like that. And if you notice, some of those men were gay men. A lot of them were gay, and it may have been because of the fact that they was raped, or maybe they were gay, because even some gay men who get raped don't report it. So, you know, it's more prevalent with women getting raped. That's a known fact. So, you know, do a show with women, you know, whatever.
But I was talking about as far as me and the way I am. You know, women who have been sexually abused by their biological fathers.
Right.
You don't hear that a lot.
Everyone, excuse me.
But she has shows like that, but not an open forum like that. But there's been a family on there where the father was raping them. And the mother, too. The mother was in on it, too. The father was in jail. But, you know.
Oh,
maybe,
I saw that. Yeah. I remember that show.
Right. Maybe if you could get a email or something out to her, maybe she might do a show like that.
Yeah,
well,
because I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell y'all the truth. I still think that affects my life. Yes. Yes.
That's what I'm what I was going to say was, Oprah did have a show when she shared her life and how she was molested by her relatives and her family. But maybe what you really need to do is see about some programs that will pay for some additional counseling, because what went on in your life, I'm sure that you still have some things that are unresolved because your dad died before he could tell you why he raped you. Your mom died a week after you told her that your dad molested you, and then to go on and then be raped at gunpoint. So there's a lot of things in your husband, who was your love of your life, who supported you through your lifetime. You know, he passed away. So there's a lot of things where I think that you need to get it off of you, since your family has ostracized you and saying it doesn't happen because they don't want to face it, because they don't want the stigma of that being a part of their family. But maybe you can find some programs out there or support groups for people who also were victims of molestation and rape by a family member. But I just want to share, next week our guest that's going to be on is going to be Jade Bryant, a love, erotic, sex guru. She's going to take you from the dildos to the bedroom to anything you want to know about sex. She's going to be our special guest next week. So this show will not be for the tenderhearted, because we're going to get down and dirty, and we're going to be using explicit sexual terminology. That's how we're going to do it on this show. And also, I want people to remember, if you want to be a guest on my show, call me at 443-956-8753 and go to my website at www.terrylyle.com and get my books. Help a sister out. And I just want to thank so much for our special guest, Joyce, for being here, for my mom, Miss Matthews, for calling in. I want to say thank you to Jade Bryant for calling in, and Delicious Johnson for being here, helping out, and my special co-host, Shalonda. Couldn't have done it without her, and all the people who called in and listening. I just want to say thank you again, and tune in again next Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the same place. Tell your friends. All you got to do is call in to 347-945-6003. And on that note, we're going to get up out of here because it's still Friday night. That the night is still young and it's still cool outside. And I'm going to get some little music playing and I'm going to get my groove on, get up in my bed and get comfortable. Oh, let me just shut up. My mom's listening. I ain't going to do that. But I'm going to say good night tonight. And thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me as your guest. And I apologize for being late.
Thank you for showing up, Joyce. And I do appreciate your coming out and, you know, giving out the knowledge that you did to somebody who's out there listening, you know, who's been quiet for a long time. Open up, give it up, and let go and let God.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And Terry, maybe you will have a guest speaker on your show one day who can tell people like me where to go to
get the help that you're talking about. On January 31st, I'm going to have a psychologist on my show. So you can call in January 31st and you can ask her all the questions you want to know.
I'm writing it down right now.
Right, darling. So anybody else want to give a shout out?
And God bless everybody. And stay
strong.
God bless you too, sister.
And I want to say hi to a friend of mine, Tom, in the Columbus area. Well, by the way, of Alabama, but my landscaping friend. I want to say hi to him and everybody from north to south, east to west. We love you here on Unmasked with Blog Talk Radio. Shalonda, would you like to say something, darling, before we get off the air?
I just want to say hi to my brother who's finally listening in.
About time.
Great. And just everybody have a happy, safe holiday weekend. And happy birthday to Dr. Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm. All right. Happy birthday, Martin Luther King. Okay, Ms. Matthews, would you like to say something before we get off the air?
I would like to say it was a very interesting conversation. I enjoyed it. And I got a lot of learning from that. You know, I learned from what she went through. It makes me strong, and I know I can help someone else maybe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Can I say one thing?
You sure can.
I would like for everybody to stay in peace with themselves and not go to pieces.
Amen. Amen. You know, hold it together. Get some help, you know. And I advise everyone out there, look at the children around you. If their grades are starting to drop, if their attitude is changing, if the young girls are acting promiscuous, if they're showing their bodies to young boys or touching themselves, look a little closer, make sure nothing is happening, and don't rule it out because it might be a family member, because a lot of times people don't get it. Molestation started at home, someone close to the person. So boys and girls are getting molested, not just little girls, little boys are getting molested, and sometimes people can't handle the truth, but if you're out there, you see it, do something about it. That's your responsibility as an adult. On that note, I'm going to say good night and see me next week at 7:30 the same time.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.